You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Pardon the interruption, but I'm Mike Wilbon. Shout out to Seasonings, Tony. It's National Herb and Spice Day.
Tony Kornheiser, wow. I used to swing with a couple named Herb and Spice. I did.
You know, you go get a sandwich now, and I'm going to drop a place. Just say Subway. I go in to get a Subway turkey ham sandwich, and then somebody says, do you want herbs and spices? I go, what? It's a sandwich. It's a sandwich. Give me some mayo and some lettuce to get me out of here. Don't ask me about herbs and spices on a sandwich.
Do you remember peaches and herbs? Remember that?
Yes, I do.
Remember peaches and
herbs? Reunited, yeah. And it
Welcome
feels so good.
Welcome to PTI, good. Boys and girls. In today's episode, the Bucks need a win. Gerrit Cole gets one. And we've got a big match ahead of us at the French Open. But we begin today with the prospect of the college football playoff expanding from 4 teams to 12. Pat Forty and Ross Dellinger of Sports Illustrated were first to report that a working group within the playoff committee will recommend expansion to 6 conference champions and 6 at-large schools, with the 4 highest-ranked champions getting byes. It's not a done deal, Wilbon, but how does it sound to you?
Terrible. And Tony, you know, for years, I mean, you and I sort of switched places on this. You didn't want a playoff, and I said, give me a playoff. I mean, give me 4 teams, give me 2 teams, give me something, give me a playoff. But of course, Tony, they overdo everything. It's like, you know, a movie's not good enough, you got to have 8 sequels, and all 8 of the sequels stink. Well, this stinks, because now you're talking about having to win 3 games or 4 games to win a national championship. And on top of a 12-game season, you could be talking 16. Right. Now you're talking the NFL. And so these people who give you, we care first and foremost about, you know, health and safety. Once again, that's a lie. And it always is, Tone. You don't need that much football. Not that much. I appreciate the notion of including more teams and more conferences and the little guy and having Cinderella. But, Tone, this is way too much.
Yeah, I mean, I'm in agreement with you. 12 seems wildly high to me. I would go to 8. But 12, and to this point, if you finish a conference schedule and you crown a conference champion, which is at least one playoff game within the conference, one of the at-large teams could get into the final having played 4 extra games or 16 or 17 games. That's an enormous amount of games if you're not paying the labor force.
That's
right. These kids are not getting paid. You know, where is Mark Emmert on this? Surely not behind paying the players. Now, there's a couple of things that I like. I like the fact that the conference champions are not even guaranteed to be in because there are 10 conferences. The 6 highest conference champions would get in. So the Pac-12 might not get in again, which would make me laugh.
I knew
the legacy of Larry Scott. If it happened this past year, the Pac-12 conference champion was behind Cincinnati and was behind Coastal Carolina and would not have gotten in. The other thing that interests me about this is that there's no limit on how many teams from a conference can go. So the SEC, which I know you hate, could conceivably have 5 at-large teams.
It's the best conference.
And then
it's the best
and you'd want them for the Big Ten.
My conference, not somebody else's. But, Tom, let's just go back. I mean, that's so much football. And, by the way, these are the same people, hypocrites and dopes, who are never to be believed that they are. These are largely the same people, certainly the same body institutionally, that didn't want any playoff. They didn't want any playoff. They realized the hundreds of millions of dollars it delivers. And they said, oh, wait, you know, we didn't know we were being such dopes. You and I knew, and everybody else who pays attention knew they were being dopes. And now they want more playoff teams than the NFL has. I mean, it's just... It's too much. Somebody needs to stop them. I don't know who that somebody would be, but these are the same people who didn't want one.
Hold on a second, because let me tell you who won't stop them. This network, because college football is a gold mine, and ESPN will line up to hand people money. As Don Allmyer used to say, the answer to all your questions is money. Yep. And that's a gold mine. So they're going to do it. We will move on. We move now to the Denver Nuggets getting pounded by Phoenix for the second straight game. Denver lost by 25 points. Afterwards, their coach, Michael Malone, leveled his team. Malone said, and I'm quoting here, "I thought we quit tonight. I saw one team that wanted to be here and played with purpose and urgency, and one team that did not want to be here, and that's why we got our ass kicked. We had a lot of guys play really bad tonight." Unquote. Wilbon, was Malone too harsh on his own team?
Tony, Michael Malone can see whatever he wants to see because he's already coaching. That diatribe, that was part of coaching for game three. But it doesn't mean I have to see it that way. And I sat there, Tony, fairly close to courtside, and I watched one team make the other tap out. Michael Malone's team tapped out because they were forced to submit. Chris Paul by himself forced them to submit because he had 15 assists and zero turnovers. Only 10 people, Tony, have done that since 1978 when the NBA began officially keeping the stat of assists. 10 people. Chris Paul's a third of them. He's got 3 of the 10. All right? So Chris Paul made them tap out. This is why Chris Paul makes all the difference. This is why I voted him second for MVP. And you said I was being an idiot. Yeah, I should have voted him first. And you look even better with his last few performances, Tony. He made Denver tap out. Michael Malone must know that in his heart of hearts.
Makes me so happy when you say he's got a third of them. Because if he's got 3 out of 10, he's got 30% of them.
You know what
and
it
I
is.
Was
3 out of 9 is a third
and
of them.
I even know
you
that.
You weren't a math
Let me
major
get to this. Let me get to this with Michael Malone for a second. He'd been coaching there for 6 seasons. He probably knows the character of his team, and he probably knows what he can say and what he can't say. Because let me tell you how many games he's won in progressive years. 33 games to 40 games to 46 games to 54 games, and in 2 shortened seasons, on pace for 52 and 54. So he can say what he wants. Do I think it's a bit harsh what he said? Maybe. I think if Nate Bjorkson, whatever that guy's name would have just got canned, if he said it, it wouldn't help him. But I suspect that Malone knows what's in the heart of his team at this point. And they go back. They don't go back. They go to Denver for the first time now.
Yeah.
And I'm informed by 2 things, Mike. One, and I'm going to say this every day, the Los Angeles Clippers lost the first 2 at home and won the series. And the second thing I'm informed by was I believe Denver came back from 3-1 twice last year.
Twice.
So,
yes.
Oh, I don't rule them out.
You'd be crazy to rule him out. Michael Malone knows his team. By the way, Joker was not terrible last night. He just wasn't. He's coaching already. When he said that thing to the media on Zoom last night, he was already coaching. He knows what he's doing. But let me tell you something. What I saw. They made them tap out. Denver got forced to tap out last night.
Well, there's one big change, though. And I know they overcame it at the end of the regular season, but Jamal Murray's out. He went over 50 twice last year in the playoffs. You missed those points. Let's revisit Gerrit Cole. He pitched well last night against Minnesota. He went 6 innings, gave up 2 earned, struck out 9, no walks. 2 of those strikeouts were on Josh Donaldson, who had publicly accused Cole of using goop. Now, his spin rate was below his season average, but Cole had the highest average fastball velocity of his major league career, 98.2. Wilbon, did Cole get the heat off his back last night?
No, because dopes will continue to insist that he can't, that he must be paralyzed without spin rate. I mean, how could he possibly win a game? His spin rate was down. Look, we went through this yesterday or the day before. I can't even remember. You know how sick of this obsessiveness I am with baseball. Because it was launch angle 2 years ago. That was the phrase of the season, launch angle. And then, oh, wait a minute. Launch angle, let's replace that with spin rate. As if nobody's ever pitched without spinning it with some spidery, ointment. I don't want to hear this. This guy's a great pitcher. He's a great pitcher. He pitched well last night.
Let's get
end of story for now.
Let's get to that. This is a victory for Cole. This is a victory for people like you that don't want to hear about spin rate. This is a victory for the old-fashioned fastball. It is that. But let's get to Cole because the issue is still the issue. The issue is still about the goop. Gerrit Cole is the highest paid pitcher in baseball because his last year with Houston, before the Yankees gave him all the money, he went 20-5 and led the league in both strikeouts and ERA. He's so good that if nobody used goop, Mike, Gerrit Cole might be the best pitcher in baseball. This is my argument about Barry Bonds. If nobody used steroids, Barry Bonds would be the best hitter. But the issue is still there. Baseball doesn't want pitchers to use goop. That's still the issue.
And baseball didn't want pitchers to use goop in 1924. And it was the issue then.
Are you saying that they won't do anything about it and you're okay with it? Because I don't think cheating's good. I don't.
I'm okay with it. Baseball's all about cheating. That's all we talk about with baseball and cheating every year. That's all we talk about, banging the drum slowly. Now we're talking about baseball is about cheating, and you know it.
How do the Astros look winning a world championship by banging the garbage can?
The Astros should say, look at my ring. I'm going to wear it on your nose. Take a walk and get your own drum. That's what baseball did for 100 years. And now everybody's got a gate. Everybody's got to have a agenda about how awful it is. Then you know what? Strike the first 100 years. What did you say about the Hall of Fame? What was that brilliant line you wrote about if you get rid of all the liars and cheaters from baseball, you can put the Hall of Fame in a broom closet? You wrote that.
Shouldn't we aspire to be better?
Brilliant line.
Shouldn't that be what we do in our lives?
One of your greatest lines of your life. Own it.
Coming up. Jake Fraley provided a great moment in the ninth inning last night, but did Luke Williams provide a greater one?
And it's Nadal and Joker in tomorrow morning's French Open semi. Which winner would make the better story? What year did you write that line? Do you remember?
Best line I ever wrote was about Jack Ken Cook's kids and Raul John. I'm not saying it now, but it was the best line.
The Jamal line was pretty good, too. Better look that one up, boys and girls.
PTI fans, listen up. Have you heard you can listen to episodes of this very show ad-free on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership? That's right. All your favorite PTI episodes can be heard on Amazon Music ad-free. But that's not all. You can listen to other top podcasts like The Low Post and First Take ad-free as well. They also have your favorite shows like The Daily, Part of My Take, and Up First, all without ads. You know what this means? Uninterrupted listening, so no more cliffhangers. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts, so we know they definitely have something for you. And it's already included in your Prime membership. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/PTI. That's amazon.com/PTI to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads. Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN Pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN Pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
It's time for toss-up. Two men enter, one man leaves, finishes the show, then immediately begins writing scripts for tomorrow's happies because that's how he's wired. What's first?
Toss-up, better ninth inning moment last night. Jake Fraley's catch or Luke Williams' home run?
Okay, both are great, and you're going to see them both, and they're wonderful. Let's start with the Seattle outfielder, the very bearded Fraley. He goes over the wall to bring back a home run, and Seattle ends up doubling the runner at first. So they go from being walked off, Mike, to an inning-ending double play. And it's really great to watch.
And they won the game.
This kid, Williams, this is his first start in the majors. Okay, he goes over the wall. There's two outs. There's one on. He wins the game. His family has come from all over. He gets bathed in Gatorade and water. And at the end, he starts to cry. It's a spectacular moment. It's like the Geico commercial where he goes, are you crying? He goes, no, it's just pollen. It's just pollen. I'm not crying.
Listen, the home run, it's a great moment. I think it's really the parents' dream as much as every child's dream to see your child do that and to be in the stadium. It's great. But that happens hundreds of times. It does. It happens dozens of times a year because somebody comes up and they hit an early home run. Maybe not a walk-up, but they hit the early home run and the parents cry and they hug each other and you get the close-up footage. Tony. That catch, that doesn't happen every week. It doesn't happen every season, even once. Not to go over the wall and to add to it, to throw to the relay
play.
Man, to throw to first base, the double play. No, no, no.
Yeah, that doesn't happen.
It's baseball. It's that.
Next.
Toss up. Who would you rather see win their French Open semifinal tomorrow morning? Rafael Nadal or Novak Djokovic?
This is easy for me. As you know, I don't like Djokovic. I don't want Djokovic to leave tennis owning more major wins than everyone else. Me personally, I don't think he's as good as Federer or Borg or Sampras or Laver. I'm not sure he's as good as Connors and McEnroe. For me, he's a great player, but to me, he's Larry Holmes following Muhammad Ali. Now, I am chagrined at Nadal winning because it's another French Open. If he wins, it's his 14th. He would have 21 majors, Mike, and 14 would be this one thing, which is difficult for me. People said that Margaret Court isn't that great because she won so many Aussies. She won 11 out of 24. She had 13 others. Nadal would have just 7 others.
That's a nice breakdown. I'm glad you did that because you and I both have covered a lot of tennis and loved tennis for a long time. Now, here's why I want Joker out, and I do not dislike him. I like him. I like the notion that he could wind up with the most majors because it'll just screw with people's heads as they try to defend Nadal and Federer. I want Joker out because he looks like a caveman now screaming. Did you see what he did in his last match? He's turned around. His face is as if he has seen the end of the world and he is raging against it. And he looked like a complete and utter fool. And for just doing that for as many times and as long as he did it and on and on and on, I want him out. Now, has nothing to do with tennis. I like Joker. Get out if you have to be that big a fool.
That's it. Let's take one last break. Still to come, Mike D'Antoni, reportedly interested in one of the 4 NBA openings.
And can the Clippers even that Western Conference series with the Jazz tonight?
Do you think Djokovic is the best tennis player ever? Do you? I don't.
I don't know that you can say he's not.
I just did. I said he's not.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Happy time, people. Happy 39th birthday tomorrow, Diana Taurasi. The list of Taurasi's accomplishments is almost too long for this segment. She may be the greatest women's basketball player of all time. Taurasi was a 3-time national champion at Connecticut, and twice she was named Naismith Player of the Year. Taurasi was the number 1 overall pick in the WNBA draft by Phoenix. She was the WNBA Rookie of the Year. She was league MVP. She's a 3-time WNBA champion, a 2-time finals MVP, and a 5-time WNBA scoring champion. In fact, Taurasi is the all-time WNBA scoring leader. She's the Kareem of the WNBA. Plus, she was on 4 different gold medal teams in the Olympics. The only player with the same collection of hardware is another UConn guard, Sue Bird, who's still playing in the WNBA at 40. Can you imagine if they held a yard sale?
Tony, they're certainly, Taurasi's certainly on the short list in the running for greatest player of all time. I might add Cheryl Swoops and Cheryl Miller. They are at the top of my list. But there ain't no talking down Taurasi and the career that she's still having.
Absolutely. It's absolutely true. A not-so-happy anniversary, Kevin Durant. On this day 2 years ago, after missing 9 consecutive Golden State playoff games, Durant made his return to the court for Game 5 of the NBA Finals in Toronto. After scoring 11 points in the first quarter, Durant suffered a ruptured Achilles tendon, the kind of injury many people don't come back from. Well, Durant has. He switched teams, signing with Brooklyn, and sat out all of last season. Now he looks like the old KD. He's averaging 32 points a game so far in the playoffs. It's hard to resist calling him the best basketball player in the world because that's what he appears to be. He's an utterly unstoppable offensive player. No seven-footer has ever been this fast, this good a ball handler, this good a shooter. And as he has said himself, you all know who I am, I'm Kevin Durant.
Yeah, Tone, the phrase good as ever had never really truthfully, accurately been offered up when talking about someone coming back from an Achilles tear. And now, Durant, I mean, he seems like a first in a lot of things. You mentioned a seven-footer and all that he can do. He looks as good as ever, or so close, I'm not sure how you can tell the difference.
He does. Happy trails to the Boston Bruins. Wilbon, this is another hockey prediction you got dead wrong. The Islanders beat the Bruins last night 6-2 at the Nassau Coliseum to eliminate the higher-seeded Bruins from the playoffs. The Islanders won the last three games of this series and trailed for only a total of 20 minutes in all three. This is the fifth playoff series that Barry Trotz has won with the Islanders since leaving the Washington Capitals after winning the Stanley Cup because the team wouldn't pay him. Since then, the Capitals have won no playoff series, and they're on their second coach. On a personal note, I was there working for Newsday when the Nassau Coliseum opened almost 50 years ago. It was a big stone dump in the middle of a parking lot in Uniondale, and I loved it.
I would argue it stayed a dump the whole time. The Islanders have a versatile team, Tony. They can beat you a lot of ways. The question is, can they come up with a way in a rematch to beat Tampa Bay? Is that going to happen to your team?
Have you ever been in the Nassau Coliseum, Wilbon, where the Nets used to play along with the Islanders?
I was there for Capitals Islanders. I've been there a couple. I never got to see Julius Erving, the doctor, play there. I know you did. I wish I could say I did.
Again, right in the middle of a big parking lot in Uniondale. It's my dream in life. Let's go to the big finish. Here we go. Rudy Gobert won his third Defensive Player of the Year award. Is it deserved?
Very much so deserved. And that play he made, you know, in game one to block a shot corner, Tony.
Clean block. Come on now.
I know I voted him for Defensive Player of the Year, so I feel vindicated there. The Athletic reports Mike D'Antoni's interested in the Blazers' job. Is that a good fit?
It's the team that he wants because it's a point guard-oriented, offense-oriented, quick-shooting team, but they play no defense, and he doesn't care about defense. He doesn't.
They got to get some
defense. The Euros start tomorrow. I'll bet you're excited.
Well, I am, Tony. I mean, I was at the World Cup, and I saw some of that in Russia. France ultimately won. Is France going to double down and win this as well? Just asking. NHL playoffs tonight. Will Vegas close out Colorado?
It's at Vegas, and as Elvis once said, Viva Las Vegas. I'll just pick Vegas, because I like saying that. Last one, you got lots of time. Clippers and Jazz, game two tonight. Who you got?
Yeah, Tony, no Mike Conley again. I understand resting him after you've won game one. Tony, I'm going to go with the Clippers to even this series. I think it's going to be a long, drawn-out 6 or 7 game.
We're out of time. We'll try and do better the next time, and I'm Tony Kornheiser.
I'm Mike Wilbon. Same time tomorrow, knuckleheads. You can get the PTI podcast on the ESPN app or Apple Podcasts. Now you know what's coming. Here's SportsCenter.